And I'm your host, John Rush, Rush to Reason, KLZ 560. Thanks for joining us today. Hour number two is upon us. And real quick, the Federal Center, yes, by the way, still fully operational. The largest concentration of federal agencies outside of Washington, D.C., 90 buildings, 4 million plus square feet, 6,200 employees of agencies of the federal government of the United States of America, all right here in Western Denver.
That's a lot of deep state.
There's a lot of stuff going on there. Go figure. All right, Ashley McGuire joining us now from the Catholic Association. Ashley, welcome to Rush to Reason. How are you today?
Hey, great to be with you.
We appreciate you joining us. All right, let's talk about Amy Coney Barrett. And just, we're going to see some things, you know, basically going to start that process here. Is it next week or the week after?
12th.
So next week.
Next week. Next Monday is on her.
How many attacks from the left do you think are going to come towards Amy Coney Barrett on the fact that she's a Catholic?
You know, it's hard to say. On the one hand, I want to say that they might have learned their lesson with the first round that they had with her, where they were really seriously criticized for the way that they targeted her faith. On the other hand, you kind of get the impression that Democrats just can't control themselves when it comes to attacking faithful Christians.
So, I agree.
There's no way to predict what's going to happen, but if we're looking at, you know, their pattern of behavior, it certainly suggests that they don't have a lot of self-control when it comes to targeted questions attacking her faith.
And my prediction is they do. Andy, what do you think?
That they'll go after her Catholicism?
Yes.
I think they will, but I agree with Ashley. I don't think they'll do it heavily.
Okay.
And Ashley, let me ask you this. Doesn't it really come down to this for Democrats? The problem they have with her Catholicism is she really believes it.
Yeah, no, I think that's right. And I think, sadly, that is a threat to a lot of people. And it's certainly a threat to the Democratic Party, which doesn't seem to have any tolerance for people of authentic faith.
Well said. They do not. Well, the only faith that they have tolerance for is the faith in the Democrat Party. Let's face it, that faith they believe in, but no, none other, Ashley.
No, I think that's right. I mean, if you look at, I think somebody who's really spoken well on this is Attorney General Bill Barr.
Yes.
He's talked about the fact that secularism has become a new ideology unto itself, that it's sort of the new religion, and it's certainly the religion of the left. And that really clashes with religious liberty, because it's a sort of hostile and aggressive secularism, again, one that views any kind of public vestige of faith as a threat. And that's a total departure from, you know, the traditional American experience, which is one that's A, very tolerant, B, pluralistic, and C, has always viewed faith as something that's something positive that reinforces a free society.
And that we have free choice to make, right?
Sure. I mean, you know, nobody actually believes that religious people are imposing their views on other people. I think that's, you know, it's a scaremongering.
That's one of the most biggest misconceptions, I think, that's at least in our walls of the United States of America, but I think even worldwide, that is one of the largest misconceptions folks have, and we get painted in a bad light all the time in that.
Right, and if you really look at it, the reality is the opposite.
Yep.
People of faith are threatened with, you know, in the United States, it's more things like fines and lawsuits for practicing what they believe. In other parts of the world, it's a lot more serious.
Yes, well said.
It's their lives are on the line.
That's right, that's right.
Well, the fact is there is no Christian jihad. Jesus and the apostles never tried to force non-believers to live like believers. People don't seem to want to understand that. But Ashley, let me ask you this. Are we just seeing the tail end of 5-6 decades of public education and the fruits of that, basically training entire generations to believe that God is the bad guy or God isn't real, and now it is actually becoming accepted to virtually criminalize belief in God?
Well, it's interesting you say that, because I'm in Washington, D.C., and have been watching with sort of horror with what's happening with the public schools here. I mean, just with the complete refusal of the teachers to come back, and feeling so glad that 2 years ago we decided to take our kids out of the public school and put them in a Christian school. But, you know, also part of what was motivating our thinking was a growing fear that if you teach your children safe at home, that increasingly these schools are going to take away the rights of parents to do that, to opt their kids out of stuff being taught in the schools that violates their beliefs, or even more sinister, just not telling them, you know, and then it's too late. I have a lot of friends who have had their kids come home from school, and you can't undo the things that they've heard, the things that they've been
well
taught,
said.
And the things that they've learned.
Well said. I sent my kids to Christian school for the very reasons you're talking about, Ashley. I always said I wanted to come home at night, and I wanted to be able to reteach what my kids had had learned that day, not reprogram what they had learned that day. And it's a big difference in the thought processor. But I got to ask you a question. Given all of this, we also know, at least I feel in my heart, that Amy Coney Barrett would be on our side of the fence when we talk about parents' rights, the ability to send them to school wherever they want, including homeschool if they so desire, teach them the faith that they want to teach them. I think she's on our side, and I think that's the side of the Constitution and the law. That's why she's on our side. How do we, though, get the message that of what we're just talking about right now, where we don't want to force our views or our beliefs upon anyone, how do we get that out to suburban women so they'll vote for Trump, so that we can continue this path and go down, you know, keep going down the trajectory and the path that we're on without losing that momentum?
Well, that's sort of a million-dollar question. You know, unfortunately, we have the press working against us, and I think that there are a lot of myths and lies out there. I think people really are reasonable, and I think they appreciate and see the value in things like parental rights. So I think the most important thing is to just stress, because there's so much noise, so many competing talking points, the fact that she's the kind of judge that's going to interpret the Constitution as written. And the Constitution is very clear about what our rights are. And I think that that should be reassuring to people right on its face. But, you know, I do think that the challenge today is trying to compete with the narrative that the media is spinning. And it's a very deceptive one.
It is. No, in fact, they're painting the, you know, abortion and Roe v. Wade as like the number one issue Amy Coney Barrett would ever even come across as she sits on the bench of the Supreme Court. And let's face it, for the most part, that may not be something she even touches for many years to come. It's really hard to say as far as that goes. And when it comes to suburban women, a lot of folks that even would be voting or not voting for Donald Trump, depending upon their views, that particular topic most likely in most cases, Ashley, won't have any bearing upon them whatsoever. And yet the left continues to shove that narrative down their throats.
Well, and one thing that is eminently clear from what Amy Coney Barrett has said and written is that she does not believe the personal beliefs of a judge should influence the way that they rule in cases. She's somebody who believes in the rule of law, not the rule of personal opinion. She's not somebody who's going to legislate from the bench. And that is the correct role of a judge.
Agreed.
And so,
well
again,
said.
I think people should take assurance that she's made this very clear.
Go ahead, Andy. No.
Well, doesn't it really come down to this? We've got to convince people that to believe in God doesn't mean to hate women.
Right.
I mean, I'm sorry. I know that sounds very basic, but that is basically how the Democrats are putting it forth on Capitol Hill when they ask these kinds of questions. They're basically saying, hey, you can say you believe in God all you want. Biden does, Pelosi does. You can say all this. But the second you actually cling to any of these original writings, you hate women. And I actually think that she's going to dazzle on Capitol Hill. I think she's going to blow them away. But isn't this basically the war we're trying to fight?
I think you're right that she is going to dazzle. And, you know, I think that's such a flimsy, I think people can see through that truly because, I mean, what, we hate women so much that we're, you know, choosing to put a woman, a mother of seven kids, in the position to have the most legal impact of any,
well
you know,
said.
Judge or jury
well
out there. So
I agree.
Yeah, well said.
And
by the way, I think those are some of the things, Ashley, that we need to, we collectively, us, you, you know, your association, churches in general, and so on. Those are the things that we really need to focus on over these next few weeks to win this election. Otherwise, we're liable not to.
Right. And thankfully, she sort of speaks for herself. I mean, again, she's this incredibly accomplished woman. One of the things that amazes me about her is the fact that all of the people who clerked with her in the Supreme Court, including people who disagree vehemently with her about a lot of things, are saying that she is by far and away the smartest person that was in their year of clerks. And she's been able to do all this while also being a mother to seven children.
Wow, so, amazing.
You know, I think the message to suburban women should be, look what your daughters can achieve.
Yeah, well said.
And I think it's hard. It's going to be hard to argue with the optics of what she truly is.
You know, Ashley, I think she's going to be put through on a party line vote. That's what I expect. But just tell me this. What, after that happens, what do you expect will be her impact on the court going forward?
Well, you know, my sincere hope is that her impact on the court is to take it back to a place where the Supreme Court is not such a divisive.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. Thank you.
Presence in our culture. And I think, again, what is required to make that happen is to return to a correct understanding of interpreting the Constitution as written, not using the Constitution as a vehicle to create change that even Congress
It's not
can't
your
do
own
itself.
Personal tool to be used for personal gain in regards to what you think the country should look like. It is a standing document that our country was founded on and needs to be interpreted as such. It's not your own political gain tool.
RBG was seen as the left's justice. This is not our justice.
No.
This is a constitutionalist.
Yes. And I like what Ashley said, taking us back to where we should be, because let's face it, the way that Ruth Bader Ginsburg's been doing it all these years is not the way it's supposed to be done. Sorry, left, that's not how it works.
No, I think that's right. And I think it's a problem that we have too much invested in filling one seat on the Supreme Court. I mean, it's an extremely important body, and our government was designed to be, a divided government of checks and balances, but the country should not be torn apart every time that there's a seat vacated on the Supreme Court. And I think, unfortunately, what's happened is a pattern of justices using their position on the Supreme Court to basically drive an ideological agenda.
Well
and
said.
So I think that because she's somebody who's a constitutionalist, that there's hope that she can help bring the court back to a place where it's truly a respected branch of the government, not just another smaller Congress.
Perfect. Well said. Ashley McGuire, Senior Fellow with the Catholic Association. How do they find out more about you and the work that you guys are doing, Ashley?
Sure. We're on Facebook and Twitter, or you can find us at www.thecatholicassociation.org.
Perfect. Ashley, thank you. You're welcome anytime. I appreciate it very much.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. Good stuff, by the way. Very sharp lady. Ascent Health Center is up next, though. We'll talk to Dr. Julie tomorrow, by the way, in Health and Wellness Wednesday. But in the meantime, if there's anything you need, another sharp lady, Dr. Julie, she would love to help you. If you're just not feeling well, you need some help with weight loss, nutrition, you name it, she's there for you, and she would love to help you out. 303-343-8800. That's AscentHealthCenter.com.
You just don't feel good. Maybe it's an immune disorder. Maybe it's lack of healthy diet and exercise. Maybe it's a hormone imbalance or some unidentified underlying health issue. Whatever the reason, you can't remember the last time you felt truly refreshed, full of energy, and free of aches and pains. Dr. Julie Marchial of Ascent Health Center believes it's possible to feel great. She wants to give you hope by providing practical direction for healthy lifestyle changes. Nobody can figure out their health issues and maintain a perfect diet and exercise alone. We all need guidance and support to find out what's going on and work to fix it. Dr. Julie and the team at Ascent Health Center will meet with you to identify some possible causes for your high stress levels, low energy levels, and poor sleep. Then they will make a plan to stop feeling awful all the time and start feeling great. Mention Rush to Reason today for a free, no-obligation consultation with Dr. Julie.
John Rush believes there's no such thing as normal. You always need to stay focused on the future, and this current environment is no different. The only difference now is that you have a rare opportunity to beat your competition as they stay stuck in survival mode. Not one of John's small business clients shut down during the quarantine. And believe it or not, none of them has seen a drop in overall revenue compared to last year. Hire John and stay focused on the future. RushToReason.com.
It sounds good, but is it good? Kim Munson here. Wednesday, millennial and former school board director Stephen Peck joins me to explain messaging vulnerabilities regarding the forced family leave question on this year's ballot. We'll talk about the challenges for millennials, why family might appeal to them, and how we can improve on our messaging on why Rick Turnquest and I are recommending a strong no on Prop 118. Plus, Matt Durkin, DA candidate for Jefferson and Gilpin counties, and Samantha Cook, House District 1 candidate, join me. That's Wednesday, 6 to 7 a.m., 1 to 2 p.m., and 10 to 11 p.m. right here on KLZ 560.
With every crisis, there is opportunity. Buying or selling your business? Kim Munson recommends Chris Cantwell with Transworld Business Advisors. Find Chris Cantwell at KimMunson.com. That's M-O-N-S-O-N.
Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Dallas Mavericks owner Mark Cuban and U.S. Senator Ted Cruz got into a heated argument today after Cruz blamed this year's dip in the NBA Finals ratings on BLM messaging.
Well, of course.
Cuban doesn't see it that way, but Mark's a lefty.
Well, first of all, he's a lefty, and secondly, he cannot depart from the company line.
No,
there's no way.
No.
But John,
he'll get nailed to the cross.
Yes,
if he does that.
Absolutely. Let's get down to brass tacks here, okay? Look at the market that they are catering to. Now, first of all, their market for the NBA is a largely urban market. Okay. It is a largely liberal market. There weren't that many conservatives who watched the NBA to begin with.
True.
Certainly not compared to football, and definitely not compared to hockey.
Right.
You with me?
Yeah, I agree.
Okay. Now, you combine that with the fact that you've got an entire nation of people dying for any kind of entertainment, especially since movie theaters aren't putting out new movies very much.
Just give me something to watch, right?
Give me anything to watch. And I'm going to disagree with some, look, it isn't because there aren't fans that people don't want to watch. People don't watch a sport to watch the fans. They watch a sport to watch the sport. Don't get me wrong. Having more fans, roar of the crowd, adds a little excitement, but people who have been starved for 10 months for entertainment aren't going to not watch because of that. Hypothetically, think about this. What if the NFL and MLB and the NBA were not doing any of this Black Lives Matter stuff or protesting the flag, protesting the anthem, none of that whatsoever? They just went out and they were entertaining and they were going to battle on the gridiron, going to battle on the court. Their numbers would be through the roof, John, because people are desperate to watch it, and there's virtually nothing else competing for their entertainment dollar. All right?
Yeah, other than each other.
Right, other than each other. Their numbers would be through the roof.
But here's the thing on that even, and I would come back to even with Cuban on this. Mark, you guys in the NBA, MLB did the same thing, but you guys in the NBA screwed up.
Oh, yeah.
First of all, you waited far too long to keep going with your season. You could have done this months ago. You were just a bunch of chicken you-know-whats and didn't want to do it.
So that they would now they're overlapping with the NFL.
So you're overlapping with football, which, no offense, folks, but football's king.
Football's,
and Mark Cuban, if you don't know that, you're a moron.
Football's king, but here's the thing, John. Their numbers are just as down on nights when you don't have NFL games.
No, I agree, Andy, because, again,
there's been no connection.
Despite what Mark Cuban says, people are sick and tired of seeing the BLM garbage.
Yes! Yes! The whole reason, I would say at least 90 to 95% of the reason that their numbers are down, that the numbers of the NFL are down, that the numbers of MLB are down, are all one thing: Black Lives Matter. People are angry because you're representing a group that is burning cities. That's the bottom line. You're representing a group that is burning cities, that is marching and roughshod into restaurants where people are trying to eat and screaming at them. This is a violent, violent group, and people resent it. And they also resent any politics being brought into the workplace,
We've talked about this in years past on this show. Years past, literally, for several years now. What do people want in sports, Andy?
An escape.
Thank you.
Yes.
An escape from all of what they look at and deal with day to day, right?
Right. If you go to a normal workplace, just a normal workplace, this place is fairly ideological. It's God and country. I get that, right? But a normal workplace.
Even with this.
Chevy or whatever.
But even with this, I want to go to a game and not even do this, Andy.
Well, no, I'm getting to that. But I mean, you go to, you work at Safeway or right. You go someplace like that. You don't want people pushing their politics on coworkers, pushing their politics on the customers, correct. Pushing their politics. They're here to work. Right. They're here to sell something. Okay. So all of America is saying this, man, when I go to work, I can't push my politics, nor should I. Right. Mm-hmm. Well, you guys, it should be even more that way because you guys are in the public eye. When you push politics, you're offending half your clientele. That's you're right. Literally telling half your clientele, we hate
go
you.
Away.
We hate you because of how you vote.
That's right. Go away. Yep.
And I believe because they're sending a message that literally we hate half our clientele, they're losing a lot of that clientele. And I see literally hundreds and hundreds of people online in conservative circles saying never watch again.
I agree. Well said. No, you're right. Mighty Hand Construction is next, by the way, folks. And if you need some things done around the house as we head into winter, talk to Mighty Hand. They can do home improvements, windows, siding, get a free roof inspection, you name it, they can do it. Find them at klzradio.com or dial 970-844-9191.
It's time to stop painting over the damage and replace your siding. You'll be costing yourself more money in the long run by painting over wood rot and split boards every few years instead of committing to a full exterior redo with Mighty Hand. Micah and his team offer Diamond Coat siding, which comes with a 30-year, no paint, no fade warranty, so you'll have great-looking, durable siding for decades. You've been putting it off because you know it's a big expense, but you're not planning to move anytime soon, and you do want to feel like you're living in a nice place. Use some of that refi money to hire a local business you know will do a good job. As a full-service construction company, Mighty Hand Construction can handle any exterior work in Northern Colorado, including roofing, siding, windows, driveways, decks, and more. Ask Micah and his team for an estimate on a full exterior redo at klzradio.com/mightyhand. Honoring God, impacting customers.
And if you want to pay for some of those improvements, we've got a way to do that, affordable interest mortgage. I talked to Kurt Rogers just a little bit earlier today. I passed him downstairs in the on the first floor of our building, had a little conversation. Kurt's just a great guy, by the way. He would love to help you with all of your needs when it comes to your mortgage. And it's simple. One phone call, 720-895-0500.
Take aim. Affordable Interest Mortgage has been offering the Asset Manager all-in-one loan for over 11 years. We are experienced in helping homeowners pay thousands less in interest on their mortgage, own their home faster, all without spending one dime more. 720-895-0500. Take aim, Affordable Interest Mortgage, where we have hundreds of clients that have been using these loans to build their equity faster, access emergency funds when necessary, and pay off their home in 8 to 13 years versus 25 to 30. People initially believe this loan is too good to be true, but it is true. Call 720-895-0500 now to see if you qualify. Loans from $100,000 to $2.5 million, same rate. Ask our previous clients. They will tell you it works. Call 720-895-0500 and work with the experts. This loan has been around since 1965. Affordable Interest Mortgage, where it's all about you. 720-895-0500. Regulated by DORA, NMLS 298191, Equal Credit Lender.
The Mike Gallagher Show.
He's your happy conservative warrior.
Well, there's a lot of senators who understand the country is not closed for business. Everybody's trying to work through a worldwide pandemic, understanding we've got to balance being smart and being safe with continuing to live life.
Breaking news and what to make of it.
Don't miss the next Mike Gallagher Show.
Mike Gallagher, weekday mornings at 8 on KLZ 560.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Thanks for tuning in today. We do appreciate it very much. Myself, Andy, Pate, and Charlie. And, yep, today we found out earlier that Eddie Van Halen had passed away. So 65, I said he was.
Yep.
Right? 65 years old. It's not that old.
What a talent.
Not very old, by the way.
No.
I want to make it past 65. How about you?
I would like that.
Yeah, me too. All right, John O'Connor joining us next. John's been on with us before. John, welcome back to Rush to Reason. How are you?
Hey, good, John. Feeling great.
Postgate, how the Washington Post betrayed Deep Throat, covered up Watergate, and began today's partisan advocacy journalism. That is John O'Connor. Talk to us about James Comey.
Well, James Comey famously said in his book about Trump that, my gosh, he's just like a mafia, you know. He's a mafia guy. He kind of wants loyalty. Well, what I would tell you, John, that a mafia guy does is he doesn't remember stuff that he should remember. Gosh, I don't remember that.
Yeah.
And then he also would have some of his associates, if they had phones back in the day, they'd wipe them clean. Now, I think back in the past, they'd probably just have a fire, put their papers in the dumpster. But their associates would wipe them clean, and they wouldn't remember things. And that's what we have. See, here's the problem with this latest thing that was declassified by Ratcliffe, saying boldly and starkly, the Russians are saying that Hillary is using Russian disinformation to slam Trump for this collusion. That is just a hot, stinking mess for Comey, because that thing, if he ever saw it, heard of it, knew of it, he's committing felonies from now until doomsday, because that's precisely the kind of stuff you have to tell a FISA court. Of course, if you know it's true or you even think it's half true, you don't even think about having a FISA warrant anyway. Now, before that came out, I've always pointed to abundant evidence that these guys knew anyway that it was Russian disinformation, and that they were willingly looking for Russian disinformation. They didn't care. They're very cynical, and I'll explain why in a second. But they knew it. The problem with this comes right from Russian intelligence saying what Hillary's doing, and it's pretty darn reliable, and actually it's pretty accurate, and they get it just about the date the whole Steele stuff is happening, where Steele is using Russian disinformation sources to concoct this thing. That's what's amazing about it. But let me go to tell you why, John, that Comey and the White House knew all about this. First of all, Christopher Steele might as well have on his cap Russian oligarch, because he had probably written 200 reports for one of Putin's buddies, a guy named Oleg Deripaska. For the 2 years prior to this, he was constantly trying to get some advantage for Oleg here and sort of portraying him as the nice oligarch, getting him some advantages to work in the United States. But everybody knew that anything Steele did was sort of, I don't want to say Russian disinformation, but it was the Russian view of things coming from the oligarchs. It wasn't necessarily false. So here Steele is doing this thing. The FBI knows that the primary subsource is a guy who's a former spy. They know that one of the chief witnesses, a guy named Sergey Milyon, who supposedly knew about both ends of this international conspiracy, he's a Russian-American guy, knew both ends of the conspiracy from his apartment in the Queens. Apparently he knows enough about the Kremlin and Trump. So the whole thing stinks. It's known, it's obvious that this was just a big, it was a deliberately trumped up deal.
Yeah.
Obama knew it. He had to approve this. There is a White House registry the day after the DNC emails were hacked, and a woman named Mary Jacoby signs in at the White House, and she is, alas, Glenn Simpson's wife. And she's going in to get the DNC's approval to spend $10 million, and that approval has to come through Obama. Now, she probably didn't talk directly to Obama, but talked to Stephanie Salter, somebody who handled that. But Obama knew about it, knew that they were concocting this thing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, am I saying he's criminally guilty? He probably isn't.
Well, and real quick, Andy, there was information that came out along those lines today, correct?
Well, yeah. I mean, you're talking about the Brennan notes, right, John? And the thing that's really shocking about the Brennan notes is this. Brennan is pro-Hillary and anti-Trump. Okay?
Right.
This is one of their people. He, and let's face it, he's a communist in a lot of his beliefs. Brennan is way left. He hates Trump. He loves Hillary. And here you have notes from him, handwritten notes that say flat out that she, that Hillary concocted this. This was her proposal to, quote unquote, vilify Donald Trump by stirring up a scandal claiming interference by the Russian security system service in order to distract from the public from her use of a private email server. Okay, so basically she concocted this to go after Trump, to take away knowledge of what she did on her service. And John, here's what I can't understand. The woman deleted over 33,000 emails. She bleached her hard drive and had a cell phone smashed. And yet the FBI that knew all about this and had been briefed by Brennan at the time that she was doing this on purpose, what did they do? That FBI leadership lets her off the hook, and they spent 2 years trying to burn the guy they knew was innocent. Am I pretty much summing it up?
Oh, you've got it. Absolutely, completely right. And I'll add a little bit of a motive to what you just said.
Please do.
You said it. The 33,000 emails, Hillary, you talk about compromise. The Russians had it all over her because those 33,000 emails clearly would have had a buy and sell deal regarding uranium one. She got $145 million
yep.
for it.
Yep.
So you would have had to do it in those emails. Now, the Russians, if they wanted to continue owning her, probably wouldn't release them. But she didn't know what they would do, and they could have done it thinking, well, she'll win anyway, but we'll bloody her up. They could have released them. She was deathly afraid of those. So one of the things she was doing, I don't think she was concerned so much about the hack of the DNC emails, but she was deathly concerned that some of those emails could find their way to WikiLeaks or the Russians would do it anyway, and this thing would come out. And her only scheming Hillary defense to that would be, what did she do when Bill was caught with a women, this is a vast right-wing conspiracy.
Mm-hmm.
This was going to be another vast right-wing conspiracy.
By That's John Brennan?
yes, exactly. Exactly. But she was. That's what she was going to claim, was that Trump was in this conspiracy with Russians. So even John Brennan knew it. They all knew it. And that's what's so interesting about it, is that, and I blame Comey more than Brennan. Brennan is, to a certain degree, the guy's, like my first boss, a famous trial, used to say, John, and I'm Irish as they come, as Pat is, but he used to say, if there's a, nobody's as dumb as a dumb Irishman. And, you know, and Brennan is one of those guys. I think he's thick. His skull is about 4 inches thick. So he's just a little bit off. But Comey is a smart Irishman, and he knew exactly what was going on here. And he is just a sort of, in my view, a man of great gifts, but very diabolical, uses them. He's very, very strategic, knows the media is going to go along with whatever he
says. He's evil.
He's the scary guy.
Say what it is. He's evil.
John, let me just ask you this. Going forward, I mean, what are they going to do with this? The Brennan notes, number one, go dead against what Comey testified. It's basically saying, you knew stuff you said you didn't know, and so forth. And it
yourself.
Goes... And it also goes directly against what Hillary is saying. So how are they going to cover this up at this point?
Well, yeah, good question.
Well, that's why I wrote this book. I spent 9 years of my life doing it, because I thought that if you could prove absolutely that the press got away, the media got away with lying about our most important scandal and lying to get rid of Richard Nixon. And Nixon was no saint, but to get rid of them like they did, you had to lie. They lied in Watergate. I was a big fan of getting rid of Nixon. I believe the Post, but I don't now. And so I wrote it specifically because there is not going to be a truthful narration of this in the public. Mm. So to folks like us that are alive and you know, not corrupted, not Manchurian citizens. Oh, we know what's going on, but how much does this get out into the public? Unless, and you know, you've got CNN and MSNBC just driving it home every day that the crazy conservatives are just lying. Whatever they do, they're lying, and it's a terrible situation. I mean, our founding fathers thought freedom of the press would stifle factionalism and mobocracy, And I don't think they ever thought that the main faction would be the media.
Hey, John,
First Amendment.
Would you say part of the problem, yeah, besides the fact that the media opposes getting the truth out, but would you say another problem is simply the complexity of this entire thing, of Spygate and all of it, Ukraine and Hillary, the emails, all of it is so complex, it's hard to package it into something simple to put out there?
Well, you're half right. You're right, but only to a certain extent. If they wanted to, they could do it.
Half right is more right than I've ever been. So that's wonderful. Thank you.
No, I didn't mean.
No, I'm kidding. Okay,
you're partly right. But what I'm saying is, yes, they could package it, and the fact that it is does require packaging means the media can get away with lying. That's what I'm really saying. They
right.
know what's up, at least the smarter guys there. Now, there's an awful lot of groupthink over there. I'm not so sure all these people in the media are the smartest guys. Mark Felt told Woodward years ago that he distrusted the press because they were press people were shallow, superficial, and too quick to make judgments. And we see that in CNN, and we also have this heavy partisan overlay that has occurred since Watergate. That's the partisan stuff that really got going then. You didn't have Walter Cronkite anymore. That was being phased out, and you didn't have pretensed objectivity in the reporting, and that's considered cool investigative reporting that Woodward and Bernstein really put to the fore. So that's where we are, and to get this story out, I think, and thank God for shows like yours, because you're doing the Lord's work and talking about it. And the trick is, you guys need a major television channel to talk on, really, is what it is, because there will be a good portion of this country will know what's going on. It'll be 40%, but that's about it.
Yep.
The rest is up to the roll of the dice here.
How do folks buy the book, John?
Go to postgatebook.com, postgatebook.com, or amazon.com. And there is, I have a lot of articles on there that talk about the modern media and go relate to my book. So
perfect.
It's exactly the kind of stuff we're talking about today.
Perfect. John, I appreciate it very much. John O'Connor, thanks again, sir. You're always welcome.
Great talking to you.
Appreciate it very much, John. Take care. By the way, folks, buy that book. It tells you a lot about what's going on, and to basically answer, his question, Andy's question, my question, how do we get this handled and combat it? We talk about it here. You talk about it where you are. You talk about it factually, not in a attacking way, but you talk about it factually with the people that you know, and we get the word out so people really understand what's happening on the other side of the fence. And by the way, to add one more thing to this, if you think Joe Biden is innocent of all of this, you're crazy. He's as guilty as Hillary Clinton in all of this.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
The guy's as guilty as sin.
That January 5th meeting in 2017, he made it clear that he was behind a lot of this. And by the way, Trump called him out on it. Well done, Trump.
Well done. All right, we'll come right back. Don't go anywhere. Purefoy Chevrolet's coming up next, folks. New or used, we'll get an update tomorrow of what they've got on the lot in both cases. But in the meantime, if you want to buy a new or used car or sell your car, your late model car or truck, Purefoy Chevrolet's the place to go. 303-659-8311 or find him at purefoychevrolet.com.
Hi, I'm Rolly Purefoy. Being in business for 6 decades in any business is a tough thing to do, especially in today's highly complex and competitive world. As a small business, we certainly have experienced many trying times when there was no clear answer or path to take for survival. The COVID-19 virus for all of us has been the ultimate business disruptor, but once again, we've managed to keep on keeping on, and we are there to serve our many tried and true customers that have depended on us to always be there. We aren't and never will be a big high-flying dealership, but one with honesty and integrity and a culture of doing things right. We appreciate all our customers, many of which have come long distances to do business with us. We are proud of who we are and what we do. Purefoy proud. We certainly need and would appreciate a chance to earn your business, whether it would be for parts or service or if you're in the market for a new or used vehicle. We'd love to be your Chevy dealer. Find us today at purefoychevrolet.com and find new roads.
Okay, real quick, Golden Eagle Financial is up next. Al Smith, he would love to help you out with all of your financial planning needs. And what I mean by that is he's not a financial planner, he's a financial advisor. And we'll advise you of not only how to get to retirement, but then stay there. He's not just the guy to roadmap it, but to also help you through retirement, no matter whether you're my age or whether you're really close to retirement. KLZradio.com, 303-744-1128.
In order to make informed decisions about your financial planning, you need to find your purpose in retirement. As a chartered financial consultant and the founder of Golden Eagle Financial, Al Smith isn't a life coach, but he does believe that your finances should fulfill a purpose. Too many people focus exclusively on accumulating more wealth without considering how they want to spend their time. One of Al's clients rebuilds churches damaged by hurricanes in Texas and Florida. Another client drives veterans to their doctor's appointments. One retired lady hunts black bears with a bow and arrow. Another gentleman creates beautiful wooden bowls. How you plan to spend your time should determine how you invest your money. That's the difference between wealth accumulation and retirement planning. Schedule a free, no-obligation consultation with Al Smith of Golden Eagle Financial today at klzradio.com/money. Find your purpose in retirement. Advisory services offered through Foundations Investment Advisors, an SEC-registered investment advisor.
Now back to Rush to Reason on KLZ 560.
And welcome back to Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. John Rush, Andy Pate, and Charlie Grimes. And John, Michelle Obama's in the news. She's tearing into Trump.
You want my shocked look?
That's your shocked look. That looks like a very Vulcan look.
It's my
actually
disgusted look, because first of all.
Yeah.
Just shut up, Michelle. You're gone. You're out of the White House. We don't need your opinion. Just shut up.
Yeah, and
shut your big yapper.
And if you're going to have an opinion, could you just once be right?
She's not. Yeah, thank you. She's not even right on this one.
And it's not that she's not right because she disagrees with Andy Pate and John Rush. She's just wrong in the facts.
She's just not right.
Yeah, she says here, here's a couple things she says. On the BLM riots, Trump is pinning violence on what's been an overwhelmingly peaceful movement for racial solidarity. It's true. Research backs it up. Only a tiny fraction of demonstrations have had any violence at all. What the president is doing is racist. Okay.
Yeah, right. She says that these protests have had no violence at all.
Well, not she's not saying none at all, but that that's such a small percentage. Let me ask you something, John. Mostly peaceful. Okay, let's say a man protests against his wife for 2 hours. You with me? He's saying that she doesn't understand his feelings. He carries signs, he chants, he yells, he insists she needs to be made uncomfortable in her views. And at the end, he strikes her. He hits her. Well, since less than 1% of his protest was violent, John, would you consider his protest mostly peaceful?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, let's look at another one. Here's one for Michelle. Hey, Michelle, when we look at what BLM protests have done to major cities, well, what if the same percentage of pro-life protests resulted in violence against abortion clinics? That would leave an awful lot of clinics burning, right, John? Mm. Right. Okay. Michelle, would you call this dangerous? Would you call this a dangerous trend by a dangerous group? Or would you insist that they are mostly peaceful?
Good question.
Last question. Hundreds of businesses, many minority owned.
Yeah.
Yeah. Have been boarded up due to BLM protests, but none were boarded up due to conservative protests. Do you not see the difference, Michelle? And if you can't see the difference, whose vision is really clouded by racism, Michelle? Trump's or yours? John, she's a racist. She is letting one side completely off the hook and not holding them their feet to the fire at all while looking at the other and trying to find fault. It's not Trump who's a racist. It's her.
Joe sent this in. It goes right along with what you're talking about.
Okay.
Fascism can be defined as the use of force or intimidation to suppress the free expression of speech and beliefs of ideas that are different than yours.
True.
Joe says, if you want to see what fascism looks like in practice, watch this 45. He sent me a 45-second clip of Antifa activists in Portland attacking a woman and trying to take her American flag away from her because they didn't like that she was carrying it and displaying it, folks. That is, in and of itself, fascism.
Absolutely. But you see, Michelle Obama would come back and say, oh, that's such a small percentage. Oh, my gosh, the vast majority are really peaceful and all this kind of stuff. Hey, Michelle, if pro-lifers had that same percentage, you would call them monsters.
Let me put this in perspective for health and wellness tomorrow.
Yeah, let's hear it.
That would be like saying that the vast majority of my refrigerator has all the good stuff in it. It's got, you know, carrots and celery and broccoli and fresh meat and protein and all the things I should be eating. But maybe on the very top shelf, I just keep bagged up because I like them nice and cold. Several bags of M&M peanuts, you know, peanut M&Ms, which, by the way, I love dearly. One of my favorite desserts of all time.
Yeah, I love peanut M&Ms.
Okay? So even though my refrigerator is vastly healthy, boy, Andy, that top shelf sure isn't, is it?
Well, let's take it a step further.
And then let's say I start eating those instead of all of the other good things that are inside of the refrigerator.
Well, it's mostly peaceful. You're doing well. What if instead of M&Ms, what if you had bags of cocaine?
Oh, better yet.
Okay, the vast majority of what John's doing is fine.
Yeah, good one. Good. That's a good one.
He is a mostly healthy guy. Okay, he does some
cocaine.
Just
that snort here or there that, you know, just bothers me every now and again, right?
Exactly.
You know, well, that's a good example. Okay, because basically that's what she's saying.
Yeah.
Like, you know, hey, John, that line or two you do every now and again, it's not a big deal.
Not a big deal.
No, it's not a big deal.
No. And by the way, let's keep in mind, John, even the peaceful protests themselves, those are the very protests that tell dangerous young people their rage is justified.
Yep. Right. Well
said. How can you do that, then turn away, watch them tear up the streets at night and say, oh, we're mostly peaceful?
Well said. That's exactly right. Spot on. I can't add anything to that. Spot on.
Yeah, she's...
She is so far off, it's ridiculous.
She's so far off, and will you agree with this? She is a flat-out, 100% bona fide racist.
And a liar on top of that.
And a liar.
Now, I'm going to say that because she is.
Yeah, and by the way, racists are liars, for the most part. If you do one, you're probably going to do the other.
Good point. Enchanted Kitchens is next, folks. Make sure your kitchen is that centerpiece of your home. You can't get a new kitchen by Thanksgiving, but you could probably get one by Christmas if you start now. And we heard that from Neil yesterday. So get started now. KLZradio.com, 303-376-7588.
Transform your kitchen into a place where you and your guests want to be. The design team at Enchanted Kitchens loves hearing from their clients once they start enjoying their new space. They hear all the time that people start cooking more often, spending more time in the kitchen. Your kitchen becomes the place where kids and grandkids naturally gather to chat. All of those little details, which you and the Enchanted Kitchens design team plan out so thoughtfully ahead of time, work together to create a space that feels comfortable and inviting, so everyone gravitates toward the kitchen more often. Many clients even say they spend more time at home because they enjoy their houses more. Your kitchen becomes the place where you and your guests want to be. You have time to transform your kitchen before the holidays, but you need to begin now. Mention Rush to Reason for a free in-home design consultation. KLZradio.com/kitchens, where magic meets design.
Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter at Rush to Reason and on Facebook.com/Rush to Reason.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Myself, Andy, and Charlie, we've got a few minutes left of this second hour. We've got a full hour coming back. Real quick, Andy, before we go to break.
Yeah.
Do you feel like it really matters who in the White House has COVID?
No.
Is that a big deal to you?
Of course not.
It's not to me either. Why is it to the press and to the left?
Because they're...
So they can do the na-na-na-na-na-na, we told you so.
Yeah, and by the way, what Chris Wallace did was absolutely disgusting. He came out and said, the moral of this, the message of what happened to Trump is, wear your damn mask.
Yeah, it sounds like Polis.
Yeah, and then he went off and described what Trump and his team were like and what Biden and his team were like, and he was praising Biden and his team and coming down on Trump and his team, and all the while I was thinking to myself, my gosh, this man just moderated their debate.
I have another question for you.
Yeah, go ahead.
Do you feel like if Biden or any of his team gets COVID, anyone will know?
No.
Thank you. I don't either.
No, they'll be hidden away. Well, how would that change with Biden? He's been hidden away.
Well,
for all we know, he had it.
Let's say some of his staffers have COVID. You think any of us will ever know?
No.
Thank you. I fully agree with you on that one. They're not going to let that information out?
Of course not. Everything that happens in the world of Trump, you see through a clear glass window. It's all right there. Everything that happens in the world of Biden is hidden.
Yep. You would, folks, listen to me when I say that. And this is something that, again, around the water cooler, you need to be discussing. When it comes to Trump, you'll know every single staffer that ends up with COVID, whether they even have any type of symptoms or not. Just a simple fact they tested positive. You and the rest of the world will know when it comes to Joe Biden's team, no matter who ends up with COVID. And by the way, just as a side note, if anyone thinks that Joe Biden's team, just because they wear a mask all the time, which by the way, they don't, but if you think just because they're wearing masks, none of them are ever going to get COVID, think again.
Cam Newton, the quarterback for the Carolina I'm sorry. Now I'm used to that. He's up in New England now. But he's a big mask wearer.
Still and he got it.
He got COVID. Here's the thing. With Trump, you will always know everything. You're going to know if anybody on his team has COVID. You're going to know all his judges. You're going to know everything that's coming with him because he's open about it.
Right.
All of it.
Not the other side, folks.
No.
You will never know.
This election is an open book against a closed one.
We have no idea how much of the Biden team or even those that are on the left have even had COVID up to this point. We have the foggiest idea.
No, and by the way, do we care?
Honestly, no, I don't, Andy.
This doesn't affect us. I know is Trump beat it in a weekend. I mean, he did 2 weeks of HCQ back in early in the summer.
Correct, which may have helped.
Well, yeah, it may have built up his ability to fight it off once he gets it.
Correct.
Right? It doesn't prevent you from getting it.
No, it does not. It just helps you fight it.
And then he did Remdesivir, did two shots of that during this time, and now he looks great.
All right, we'll come right back. Don't go anywhere. John Zemerick will join us here, top of the hour. Myself, Andy, and Charlie coming right back at you. Hour number three is next, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560.